The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I'm literally giggling right now because we're having a broadcasting problem. Let me explain what I'm doing at this very moment. Good morning. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So we have these professional mics in the studio. They are in front of us. Podcasters try to use something similar. You know, I'm trying to give you a visual of what's happening. Mine snapped. So I am physically holding this giant mic in my hands. Because you know what? We're professionals. And we're going to make do.
Yes,
we're
going to
make it work.
We also know that Dana Cortez manhandles her mic.
I do manhandle my mic.
And it's like, you can hear it. She's like a little pitbull on that mic.
Sometimes you can hear it in the background. Like, what is that? That's Dana Cortez manhandling her mic.
I'm still trying to nervously giggle because the fact that we're having fun with this, but I know this has the potential to be an explosion here in a couple minutes.
It could be. This could all fall apart and we're completely gone for not being able to do the show.
Yeah. Let's continue to make do. If there's anybody who can make do, it's Dana Cortez.
I made do many times. I remember one summer, think about this, summer, West Texas. It's like the only thing hotter is hell, okay? Ugh. And I have no AC, and I got to go to work every single day. Hey, it was an upgrade. I didn't have a car, so then I got a car that didn't have an AC.
There you go.
But let me tell you, when I got my income tax return, I spent every penny on getting that AC fixed. I remember pulling up to the garage. The guy's like, ma'am, it's going to be $1,800. I said, sold. Fix my AC. You got to make do. You got to make do with what you have.
I rode around for 2 years with no AC in Tucson, Arizona. And I just didn't wear a shirt the entire time I was driving because...
You were shirtless? Well, I don't have that option, Otto.
I would just be shirtless driving around and then I would lay out my shirt on, like, because it was an old 73 Buick Century. I would lay it out on the bench seat so it was all nice and perfect.
Oh,
so when
gosh.
I got to wherever I was going, I'd take it off the bench seat, put it on, and it was like... So it's like I had a freshly pressed shirt.
So were you just driving around bare chest?
Yeah, just driving around bare chest, dude. Just looking real, yeah.
You were bringing sexy back, huh?
No. I was doing something is what I was... I was sweating is what I was doing.
You gotta make do, though. I mean, you just have to do what you gotta do.
Did you ever do this one when you were little, when you'd be like, you go ride your bike and you get a flat tire? And you're like, oh, I'm going to have to carry my bike all the way back. Or you could stuff it full of weeds and, you know, sticks and everything and then just try to ride it back like that. Did you ever do that?
No.
Lost me there, friend. Lost me there.
You had me, you had me real good.
I used to go on a lot of bike adventures, so I feel like I always was dealing with a flat tire.
I don't even understand what you're talking about, to be honest. And I forgot what I was going to say, but go ahead, Ant.
On that note, I used to always, whenever time my cousins would have big super soaker fights, I always had to use the water hose because I was never old enough, nor did my mom ever want to buy me my own super soaker.
You had to make do.
Had to make do with the water hose, put my thumb in it, and, you know, hold the fort down.
That's every water fight, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, am I emotionally scarred? I am.
What do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
We have National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
Oh, yeah, and it's early enough that you could go to work and wear PJs, and if the boss says, what are you doing? Say, the Dana Cortez Show told me to.
Or just get a job in radio and nobody even cares.
Nobody cares. Everybody wears PJs to work every day.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If your child is a picky eater and they just refuse to eat what you cook for dinner, for breakfast, for lunch, do you make them another meal so they can eat? Dr. Deborah is a child psychologist and she's addressing this issue.
That is not what happened in my house.
Didn't happen in my house either. So listen to her advice.
Most parents respond by becoming a short order cook, and it works because the child learns if I resist long enough, the system collapses and reforms around me. The parent didn't solve a food problem. They installed a negotiation government in their house. But here's what to do instead. The parent decides what is served. The child decides whether to eat. There are no backup meals, no commentary, no emotional theater. Because hunger is not an emergency. It's a biological teacher.
Yeah, who knew my mom and my nana were doing it right? They never made me anything special except for that one time that my mom made me that kidney. She figured out that I didn't like kidney or tripas for real. So let's go to the phones now. We have Miss Elizabeth on the phone. Elizabeth, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. Is there an instance that your parents made something that you actually didn't like to eat?
My grandma, she likes to make tripas.
Ugh, girl, I don't like tripas. Do you like them?
Oh, God, I can't stand the smell.
The smell, menasco, it makes me sick. Like, it makes me physically ill. Just, it makes me gag.
I'd be like, can I have, like, a peanut butter jelly sandwich? Like,
would she let you eat that instead of the tripas?
Yes, she would.
Yeah, my mom liked kidney, so on the nights that she would make things like that, like, she liked tripas or kidney or whatever, she would let me make myself whatever. But if she cooked something, that's all I got to eat.
My oldest, he's very picky. He doesn't like eggs. He doesn't eat cheese.
How does he eat a breakfast taco?
He eats rice and he'll eat spam on chorizo.
Does he? What in the world?
Interesting choice.
How did he figure out that he liked those foods?
Well, he threw up eggs when he was very, very little. He was choking on an egg.
Oh, no. So he really doesn't like them.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's good that you wouldn't make him eat that, because if he, you know, if it makes him physically ill, I feel like that would be torture. But there are some kids who absolutely just won't eat certain foods because they've conditioned their parents to cook whatever they want. And that's what Dr. Deborah was trying to say. Like, if you have a child who says, I won't eat that, and you just cook whatever they want. Like, I had a friend of mine, and I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. She's going to know immediately I'm talking about her. Her son would only eat chicken nuggets and fries. And while I was like, well, he's not going to get much nutrition with that. Yeah. And she said, well, that's all he'll eat. But no, if a kid's hungry, they'll eat. And Dr. Deborah said hunger is a biological teaching lesson, right?
I was going to say, you'd be surprised what you'll eat when you're hungry.
Yeah,
exactly.
Did your
parents ever give you guys alternatives? My mom would always, like, if we didn't like what was on the dinner table, she'd always say you could go make your own ham sandwich. So we'd always have the option to go eat sandwiches.
See, that was not even an option in my house. So I, a lot of the times I was at my grandparents, and my mom has, you know, 10 brothers and sisters, and there always be at least 15, 16 people eating dinner there.
Oh, my God.
And my grandpa handed out every single plate. He put the food on the plate and handed out the plate to every single person. And he made sure that every single person cleaned their plate before they could have dessert. It was funny because, you know, that table was huge. And when they took it apart, when they moved out, there was so much food that was stuck inside of that table.
That's disgusting. That is so disgusting. So people were hiding the food because they didn't want to eat it. We have William on line two. William, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. Was your mom a good cook, or was there one thing that you just didn't like that she made?
Yeah, mom was a pretty good cook. We had a lot of variety, but it was one thing that I remember like it was yesterday. My mom made, ooh, I still hate it to this day, she made liver.
Oh, liver! Oh, my gosh! I hate liver, too, William! Gosh, what is the deal?
So, what we do, my older brother, he liked it, but me and my younger sister, we hated it. So, while we were eating, we would take the liver, and I literally would put it in napkins or something and put it in my pocket.
Gross, not a liver in your pocket, William.
Yeah, so, my sister, she would do it too, and then, you know, of course, leave them in our pockets or our clothes and stuff. And when mom finds out, you know, she found out, it was not well.
When you're washing the clothes and you're like, what is this piece of meat in the washer?
Yeah, my mom's like, what is this in here? So, yeah, it was pretty bad. So.
What is it, though, William, about kidney and liver and those kind of things? I don't know why my mother has a taste for those things. They're so disgusting.
Well, when you mentioned kidney, I was wondering, you know, I was like, what the heck is kidney? So, I remember liver.
It's basically like another organ that is just not worth tasting. It makes no sense to me. All right, let's talk to Neil. He's on line three. Neil, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. Is there something that your mom or dad or whoever raised you cooked that you just didn't like?
There were a few things, but I was more so just made to eat it. And if you didn't like it, you're going to sit there and eat it. And if you don't eat it for dinner, you're going to eat it for breakfast the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how it was at our house.
Oh, my gosh. So you would have to eat cold food the next day. Would you end up eating it, or did you figure out ways to hide it?
I never hid it. At first, I would just deal with having to eat the same food that we have for dinner for breakfast until I learned that, you know, just eat it now and get it over with.
Or find the dog.
There was a pasta salad my mom made once. And I just could not stand. I don't know what it was that she put in there, but it just was nasty and disgusting. And so, like, I was trying to eat it, and I started gagging, and I threw up a little bit of it in my bowl. And
oh,
she was like,
God.
That's too bad. You got to finish eating it.
No, Neil. You know what? You remind Mama of that when you're taking care of her, okay? Later in her life, Neil. You remind Mama about that pasta bowl. All right, so we do have line one, Miss Sheila, on there. Sheila, was there something that your parents made or whoever raised you made that you just could not stand? Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show.
Good morning. We grew up poor. There were seven of us, and my dad was the only one that worked. So we ate a lot of beans and rice and potatoes. And my mom had made a pot of beans one time, and she burned them. She'd forgotten about them.
Oh, no.
And it tasted like an ashtray. Oh. It was so burned. And my dad came home from work, and he said, nope, every one of y'all are going to eat that. Your mom worked hard to make those. Yeah.
What a
and
man.
We had to sit and eat them. But, my dad was very supportive of my mom and did not want to make her feel bad.
Now, Sheila, did your dad eat the beans, too?
He absolutely did. Oh. He was a true man.
That smell, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've burned
so
the beans
bad.
Before. Oh. It is so bad. I bet you remember it when you smell it to this very day.
Yes, that smell has stuck with me. But also, my mom had made liver and onions one time. And I was little. I was the last one sitting at the table because I just refused to eat it. I was probably about four. And I remember there was a cereal box sitting on the table. And I snuck the liver inside the cereal box. And I got caught. And my dad made me take a brown paper grocery sack and write sentences on it that I would not waste food.
Oh my gosh! Now please tell me you didn't eat the liver though. Did you end up having to eat it? Okay, good.
No, my dad was pretty understanding, so he knew, but he also wanted to make a statement, you know.
Yes!
He didn't believe in, you know, like physical punishment or anything, but just kind of like, okay, you got away with it this time, you're gonna write some sentences, but don't do it again.
And Sheila, I love that you said I grew up without a lot. That was the same for me. Food was something that my grandmother cherished. It was like such a big, she didn't have it when she was little. I know it sounds crazy, but she didn't have it. And honestly, the moral of this story is I'd rather ride on a paper bag than eat liver and onion.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
A Navy sailor is still trying to keep his lunch down after he found a rat inside of his energy drink. This is him talking to WKTR. Take a listen.
Started drinking it like normal. I realized something else was left in it. And then I looked inside and found a rat. I got sick multiple times. Talked to my chain of command. They referred me to go to Portsmouth Emergency Room. And then they confirmed it was a rat. They told me that they've never experienced a case like this. And more than likely with the chemicals that are in Monster, that it should be okay. And that my antibodies should be able to fight it off. But they want to keep close watch on me within the next 48 hours and make sure I'm not vomiting or have a high fever. It's been very traumatic. Addicts for me. I'm never going to be able to drink anything that I can't see again.
So the chemicals in the energy drink are strong enough to kill whatever the rat has going on. Maybe I shouldn't be drinking a lot of these. How about that?
That might have been the most alarming thing of the whole entire conversation there.
Well, maybe we should have sprinkled some Monster energy drink around downtown.
Maybe
take
care
of a little rat problem down there.
Gosh, I just keep thinking about taking a big chug and then you put it down and you hear a thud.
Oh.
And then opening it and seeing, imagine what the rat looked like. Oh my gosh, that is so disgusting.
Hold on, for clarification, was this guy's name John Witt?
Yeah.
I thought it was John. At first, when he first told me the story, I thought it was John Wick. I was like, this sounds like an awesome sequel. I'm
it
here for this.
It is not people. An awesome sequel. It was not Keanu Reeves.
The energy drink gives him extra powers or something?
No, he says that he will never, ever drink anything from a container that isn't clear. I get it. I wouldn't either. And he says that periodically he'll just start gagging. My mother one time made me physically ill on purpose. Mom, I'm about to put you on blast here. So, she made this dinner for me one night and she said, Dana, let's eat steak. I made steak, broccoli, and white rice because that was my favorite meal. I look at the meat and it looks kind of weird. And I was like, I don't know. And she said, just try it. I said, it doesn't look rare because we always made rare steak. She's like, oh, I cooked it a little bit more. I took a big bite and got physically ill all over the table. Mm. And she said, oh, I guess you really don't like kidney. Oh, my gosh.
It was kidney.
It was so disgusting.
Well, you thought it was like a little filet?
Yes.
I'm like, what?
A cow, I assume. I don't know. Not a rat. She wasn't. But she thought I was lying about not liking kidney. But she figured out real quick, oh, you really don't like it.
People out there eat kidney? Is that
yes,
a real thing?
Yes. They eat kidney, gizzard, like hearts. Yeah, you've never had a tripa taco?
No.
Blech.
Tripa is kidney?
I don't know what it is, to be honest, but I don't like it, whatever it is. I don't know. I stay as far away from it as possible. Although I do like menudo, which is the tripe of the cow. Back to this story.
I was going to say, back to the story. I'm never going to complain about getting a hair in my food ever again.
Ever. You better not, Otto. A hair at this point would be welcome. Yum. Is there a food that your parents used to make when you were little that was just so disgusting, but they'd make you eat it? 877-730-DCS1.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
People are cooking again. Back in the kitchen, men and women. According to a survey from CBS of 2,000 people, cooking is back, and it's because things are expensive. Eating out costs too much money. I was like, oh, I know. I thought it's because we just love
and
cooking.
I thought tip fatigue. Like, I have a little tip fatigue from going out to eat a lot. I eat out a lot, living by myself. I'm just tired of paying like $5 extra for every meal.
I think one of the main reasons, too, is that fast food has just gotten super expensive.
Anthony,
I can't go anywhere for less than $20.
Otto, for sure. But when Anthony, what you were talking about, like, tip fatigue and just for you, how do you cook for yourself? Like, I'm right now, Otto is traveling, working, and I'm having to cook for myself. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. It's like there's a bunch of food left over.
Yeah, because you just end up with the leftover food. That's actually a great question. The past couple of months, I've been relying heavily on meal prep. So okay. I'll have like these meal prep service from down the road. But also, shout out to HEB because for a while they were doing this chicken fajita mix that I would get and then basically spread that out through a couple of days. And that was the best.
Well, and you can do that, Devin. You can do chicken fajita burrito. You can do a chicken fajita taco. You can do a salad. You can break that up and not do the same thing. Pizza Hut are shutting down 250 stores. Domino's, did you see they just filed for bankruptcy?
I did not know that.
People are eating out less because the economy right now, it's just so hard. We're trying to save money. You got to make a choice. Do I put gas in my car or do I order pizza?
I just read this thing on the internet that it's cost $20 more every time you fill up your gas tank than it did last year at this time.
Oh my God. Hopefully things will get better. And cooking together as a family, that's one of the other things that it says in the survey, can bring you closer together. Whether it's a couple, you're doing a couple classes, you can do classes on your own as a single, Anthony, or if you have kiddos, get them involved. Teach them to cook so that when they go off on their own, they know how.
I do think that the internet has brought that to our homes, is the cooking together thing.
Oh, for sure.
Now everyone's a foodie and everybody wants to try all these different kind of foods.
I love that, though, Otto. I love that.
I do, too. I love cooking with you guys. I love the fact that our daughter loves to cook. I mean, I used to cook to like a little bit. I would make,
Otto, the only thing you would make were those breakfast burritos with little potatoes and salsa. Dang, those are good. Yeah, you should bring those back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Which one of Offset's friends is hanging out with Cardi B? How do you feel about your boy or your girl hanging out with your ex? Let's discuss after celebrity birthdays, Anthony A.
From Umbrella Academy and Peaky Blinders, she plays Gina Gray, Anaya Taylor-Joy celebrating her birthday. We also have Martin Lawrence, Akon, and may she rest in peace. On this day in 1995, the Queen Selena Quintanilla was born.
Oh my gosh, Selena. Anything for Selena's. All right, so Cardi B performing in Florida. Here is Quavo hanging out, sold out show, having a great time. He goes back just to say hi to her, bounces. How do you think that makes Offset feel?
Not good. If I'm Offset, I just got shot in Florida, and you go to my ex's concert in Florida, and you're my cousin. No, I'm not going to feel good about that at all. What do you mean? What? Bro.
Do they even get along anymore? I thought after Takeoff, they stopped talking.
So, no, Otto, they didn't used to get along very well, right? The group was, I think they were honestly kind of jealous of Cardi's success. She and Offset's relationship was stealing all the shine from the Migos. After the unfortunate incident with Takeoff, Quavo seems to have, he's moving in a different way, and he says that. And so, of course, he's at Cardi's show having a good time. I don't think it has anything to do with Offset. I think it's him just living his life, you know? What? I don't have a problem.
Nah, dude, I don't know. That's like, you're supposed to be my homie. You're supposed to be my guy. Like, we have a strong, you know, larger, they're forever tied in life together. You're not supposed to be hanging out with my ex, bro. Like, that's like,
he's
that's kind
just
of like
vibing.
A little
they
bit
didn't
of,
like go to dinner. He says hi. He's dancing in the crowd. It's not like they're hanging forever. And Anthony, this is why I can't hang out with Mindy, who is my very good friend, because Otto, one of his good friends from since they were little, like elementary, he was seeing this girl, right? And introduced me. Well, I fell in love with her. Well, they didn't make it. Now I can't post pictures with her or anything because Otto's like, can't do that because then he's going to get mad and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it's just the principle of the matter. You wouldn't have known her had I not introduced you to him and he introduced you to her.
That's not the point.
I mean, no, you can be friends with her. You just can't post pictures with her.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.